Hey, Podcastia, it's Frank Sasso coming at you. Listen, Trenton Wave's 50th episode is coming up. So here's what we need you to do. We need you to go and vote for your favorite episode. We'll count up the votes, rank them, and then on February 3rd of 2020, we're going to have a special guest host sitting with Christina and I, and we're going to present a special top 15 countdown of your favorite episodes, leading down to the number one favorite episode as per you, the listener. The deadline is January 28th of 2020. Go to TrentonWaves.com/top15 to cast your vote. Sasso out.
My name is Cody Black. I'm 17 years old. I have the hunger, the motivation, and the desire to be the best possible basketball player that I could be.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant from Lower Merion High School in Pennsylvania.
I had a purpose. I wanted to be one of the best basketball players to ever play. And anything else that was outside of that lane, I didn't have time for. I made that deal with myself at 13 years old. So everything I saw, whether it was TV shows, whether it was books I read, people I talked to, everything was done to try to learn how to become a better basketball player. Everything. And so when you have that point of view, then literally the world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft. So at 13 years old, I had a kill list. And so, you know, they used to do these rankings. It was Street and Smith basketball rankings. And I was nowhere to be found because I was like 6'4", scrawny, like 160 pounds, soaking wet. So I was like 57 on the list. And so I will look at 56, 55, all the way up to number one, who these players are, what club teams they played for. So when we go on an AAU travel circuit, I got to hunt them down, right? And so that became my mission in high school, is to check off every other person, all those 56 other names, hunt them down and knock them down. You know, it's, you got to look at the reality of the situation. You know, like for me, it's not, you know, you kind of got to get over yourself. Like, it's not about you, man. Like, okay, you feel embarrassed. You're not that important. Like, get over yourself.
That's where you go.
Get over yourself, right? Like, you're worried about how people may perceive you, and like, you're walking around and it's embarrassing because you shot 5 air balls. Get over yourself, right? And then after that, it's okay, well, why did those air balls happen? Got it. High school, year before, we played 35 games, max, right? Week in between, spaced out, plenty of time to rest. In the NBA, it's back to back to back to back to back to back to back. I didn't have the legs. So you look at the shot, every shot was online. Every shot was online, but every shot was short, right? I got to get stronger. I got to train differently. The weight training program that I'm doing, I got to tailor it for an 82-game season, so that when the playoffs come around, my legs are stronger and that ball gets there. So I look at it with rationale and say, okay, well, the reason why I shot air balls is because my legs aren't there. I got, well, next year they'll be there. That was it.
Done. So many guys tell stories about your work ethic.
Yeah.
What was really your work ethic like, and for how long did you stay disciplined?
I mean, every day. I mean, since, you know, for 20 years, I mean, it was an everyday process and trying to figure out strengths and weaknesses. For example, jumping ability. Now, my vertical was a 40, it wasn't a 46 or a 40, 45. My hands are big, but they're not massive, right? So you got to figure out ways to strengthen them so your hands are strong enough to be able to palm a ball and do the things that you need to do. Quickness, I was quick, but not insanely quick. I was fast, but not ridiculously fast, right? So I had to rely on skill a lot more. I had to rely on angles a lot more. I had to study the game a lot more. But I enjoyed it though. So like from the time I can't remember when I started watching the game, I studied the game and it just never changed.
Technical question here. Let's see how you can answer this. Who would Shaq be if he had your work ethic?
He'd be the greatest of all time.
If Shaq had your work,
he'd be the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time by a mile.
Sure. He'd be the first to tell you that, for sure. I mean, this guy was a force like I have never seen. I mean, it was crazy. You know, a guy at that size, generally guys at that size are a little timid and they don't want to be tall. They don't want to be big. Man, this dude was, he did not care. He was mean. He was nasty. He was competitive. He was vindictive. I mean, he was, yeah. I wish he was in the gym. I would have had fucking 12 rings.
What is the conversational life like with your wife and kids to say, listen, this is what I'm doing? How did that conversation go?
Well, with the kids, it's different. So, like, the communication with our children is that, you know, Pops is working hard. This is the level of attention to detail you need to have in everything you do. So it's setting the example. Same thing with my wife. My wife's a stay-at-home wife. It's the hardest job, man. Right? So she works really hard at that. I mean, it's, you know, and so her attention to detail with that as well are examples for our children. And then for my wife, it's, you know, she's as competitive as I am. So she's like, listen, man, if you're going to be out here training 8 hours a day, if you're going to spend 9 months out of the year away from your family, you better fucking win the championship. But it's a balancing act. And that's the thing that's important, is understanding that we have to have so much energy. Because for like Natalia and Gianna when they were babies, especially Natalia because she was doing prime years, and I'd go to practice and I'd train and, you know, I'd play the game and, you know, I'd come home and I'd be sore and I'd be tired. And she wants to go swimming. She wants me to take her to the park. She wants to just jump on my back or whatever the case may be. You can't say, I'm too tired, I'm going to lay down. That's not fair. She don't know what the hell's going on, right? And if this was a game, you'd suck it up and play. I play games with the flu. I play games with 102 degree fever, man.
Powerful.
You can't do that.
That
for,
is
can't.
So powerful.
Right? You got to be on, man. No
is there,
sleep.
Is there a story where it's like, you know, no one knows about where you went and played a game and it was so insane for whatever reasons?
No sleep.
You played a game, with zero sleep.
Zero sleep. Zero sleep. It's like, you know, kids, you know, Natalia had a certain, you know, health situation or what have you, and you're staying up all night, and then you got to go out and perform because fans don't know, you know, teammates don't know, nor do they care, nor should they, that you've been up all night. You got to perform, right? And so you just got to go to work, man. You know, you got a lot of people playing their hard-earned money to come watch you perform. 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 It's your job to be in shape. It's your job to be strong enough to perform at that level every single night. And as a competitor, I'm not ducking shit. Like, it's not, oh my God, my back hurts, I'm sore, we gotta play Vince Carter and Toronto Raptors tonight. We actually had this happen. We had a game against Toronto in 2000, and Vince was tearing the league up. My back was jacked. But like, the perception of that, like, what? Kobe's missing a game against Toronto, and Vince Carter, because, man, my back was really spasming. But people will be like, what? Oh, he's ducking Vince. Excuse me? No, I don't think so. So I would be in the layup line like, okay, there's a lot of days where, you know, you can rest and recover. Today ain't one of them. Your back can bother you any other day. That shit ain't bothering me today. Wow. He gonna have to see me today. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're playing against the Golden State Warriors. Score is 107-109. You guys are close to getting into the playoffs. You know exactly what happens in the game. You go up, you're about to take your shot, and then all of a sudden, boom,
yeah.
Achilles happens, right? He went and hit the free throws, and then you walked off the stage,
yeah.
And then you got the surgery done. How the hell do you tolerate that kind of pain?
You know, I tell this example, and I think this is the best way to explain it. You know, you have a hamstring injury, you pull your hamstring really, really badly, you can barely walk, right? Let alone play anything, soccer, basketball, volleyball, whatever it is, can't do anything. Doctor tells you go home, sit up on the couch, rest your hammy, right? Stay off of it, don't get up, no sudden movements. You're at home, all of a sudden a fire breaks out in the home, right? Your kids are upstairs, you know, wife is, you know, wherever she may be, you know, shit's going down, right? I'm willing to bet that you're gonna forget about your hamstring, you're gonna sprint upstairs, you're gonna grab your kids, you know, make sure your wife's good, you're getting out of that house, right? hamstring be damned. You're not going to feel your hamstring, right? And the reason is because the lives of your family are more important than the injury of your hamstring. And so when the game is more important than the injury itself, you don't feel that damn injury. Mm. Not at that time. I went in the trainer's room, my kids are in there, and you know, they're looking at you and stuff, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, you know, it's all right, dad's gonna be all right. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine, it'll be all right, it'll be all right, it'll be all right. As a parent, you gotta set the example. You gotta set the example. This is another obstacle. This obstacle cannot define me. It's not gonna cripple me. It's not gonna be responsible for me stepping away for the game that I love. I'm gonna step away on my own terms. And that's when the decision was made that, you know what, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. As parents, you gotta lead by example. If you want your kids to do whatever it is they wanna accomplish in life, you have to show them. Mm. You can't. You gotta show them. And that's what I tried to do.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts, education, talent, events, art of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Trenton Waves, I have one thing to say.
What?
Thank God you're back.
I wasn't gone.
Well, the last two shows I had to run myself.
Aw.
What is that all about?
I just have to say I am so loving this.
Oh.
That's in my hand right
now. Explain what this is.
It is from Finca Coffee, a new coffee house on South Broad Street, right off of Cass. And it is the berry banana infused tea, because there are berries floating in it right now. And the longer I let it sit, the more berry-ish it gets. It's delicious.
The first time I tasted it, it tasted like bubble gum. Like immediately, and then that went away.
Well,
and then
it's sweet without adding any artificial sugar. It's just from the fruits that are infused in it, and it's yummy, yummy, yummy.
And Gomez and Lillian over there.
His name is Guillermo.
His name is Gomez.
His name is Guillermo Gomez.
When I first met him, I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Gomez." That was it. You see the Gomez with G.
It's just because you can't pronounce Guillermo. Say it. Say Guillermo.
It comes out like I'm being strangled.
Say it.
You say it first. Let me hear it again.
Guillermo.
Guillermo.
It's not.
Maybe he's Jewish.
No, he's not. I can guarantee that.
It's like challah bread.
No, it's not. It's not a guttural sound.
Yeah, what happened to you? We go in there and you said, excuse me, is your name Guillermo? And
I didn't say. No, I didn't do that.
And he said, yes, it is. He goes, oh, because my husband thinks it's Gomez. And then I said, because he told me it was Gomez. And then you had me do that in front of him. He laughed, you laughed, and he goes, and that's why I say my name is Gomez.
Okay.
Because not everybody's going to be able to
Frank roll can't roll his tongue. That's all right.
I can't roll my tongue. It comes out.
It comes from his throat.
That being said, go to Finca Coffee when you can. They're
wonderful.
Open right now.
They are. They're open till 5.
They're open till 5, I think, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Except Martin Luther King Day.
I don't think they are open on Sunday.
They're not open on Monday, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
And I think Tuesday.
I don't know.
I'm way off.
Check their hours. Anyway.
Just Google Finca, F-I-N-C-A, or Yelp it, and then you'll find out the hours.
Right.
Don't go by us. Why are you going? Why are you listening to us?
We live nearby, so we just stop in whenever we can.
Stop in.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Who's on the show today?
We have someone on the show today that is quite fascinating. Because when you look at this guy, the first thing I think, oh, he's a banker.
No. No way. Absolutely not.
He looks very corporate.
But, no!
But here's the best part.
Let me finish.
This is a compliment, by the way. He looks very, like, professional, put together.
Uh-huh.
But then you find out he runs the only indoor skate park in New Jersey.
Ooh.
And it's called Freedom Skate Park, and it's run by none other than Mr. Jake McNichol, who's here right now today. Welcome, Jake.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to be seen.
Yes, I admit, you have a very corporate look about you.
No.
It's because you caught me on, I'm on my lunch break from my real job right now. So
what's your real job?
I do PR for the Economic Development Authority.
Oh, so you work closely with Eric Maywar.
I know of him. I have not worked in partnership with him in the past. I work mostly on the public facing side of things.
Oh, so I got you.
I'm doing press outreach, communications work, things like that day to day. But I know who he is. I know of him. So, yeah, but that's why I have the corporate look dialed in 9 to 5 and then the skateboarder attire.
We went out with Eric. We're part of the Trenton local club, right? Mm-hmm. So one night we're out there, I'm talking to this one dude. I never saw him before. His name is Paul. And he's telling me he's be a stand-up comedian, and I'm like, finding this very fascinating.
Because you love comedy.
I love comedy. Who doesn't love comedy?
Me.
You love comedy. You like good comedy.
I don't like jokes.
Yeah, you don't, you're not even big into jokes. You're more Paula Tompkins type,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
All right, so he starts telling me about his son, Jake. And I'm like, okay. He goes, oh, yeah, he's opening up a skate park. I'm like, a skate park? I had no idea. But you knew, because you know all things trend and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And she has a finger on the pulse of what's happening.
So I was like, oh, my God, that the connection was there.
Yeah, and then I think he gave me your number. I forgot what.
I think so. I think that's how it worked.
Yeah.
But then we hooked up.
Well, speaking of skateboard attire, what would you wear to go skateboarding? I have never done it.
I mean, it's the beauty of skateboarding, right, is it's an individualistic activity. People dress in everything from whatever they got at the thrift store to Louis Vuitton, Gucci,
Louis Vuitton? Really?
Oh, yeah. Check out Burberry Airy on Instagram. It's a whole thing. Designer clothes. They're all taking inspiration from skateboarding.
Oh, how cool is that?
And so, I mean, for me, I run the pretty standard, like, Dickies or Carhartt pants that stand up well. And in the winter, it's 5 layers on the upper body, long underwear, because you got to stay warm out there. So, I mean, that's a big part of why we need an indoor skate park, because, right, when it's below freezing, when it's raining, when it snows, you can't skate, because any kind of moisture messes up your skateboard. It's impossible to ride when it's wet outside, and also when it's dark out. So you get off work at 5 o'clock, even if you get out of school at 3:30, 4 o'clock, you've got maybe 20 minutes of daylight during the winter.
Wow.
And there's no parks in the area in New Jersey that have lights after 5. So having somewhere that is resistant to the weather, where it's not going to get wet, where it's not going to be snowy, where it's going to be a little warmer than it is just outside, and also having somewhere with lights, it just expands the ability of folks to skateboard an incredible amount. And there's really a lack of places to do this, especially places to do it where it's legal and you're not like sneaking into a parking garage, dodging cops, like that.
I just have to, I just had an idea and I have to say it before I forget it. All right, so talking about fashion, you should do at your skate park, you should get involved with Fashion Week and have the skateboarders wear fashions that they skateboard
Let
in
them be the models.
While they're skateboarding.
Oh, that's awesome.
And have it like a runway show, but skateboarding. And it's just skateboarders.
You hear that, Crystal? We got to hook
All right,
you guys
Crystal
up.
Feliciano, who runs Fashion Week. We are going to make something.
We're actually working on something like that behind the scenes. It's not
with
concrete
Crystal?
Enough for me to be able to say anything.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you're working on it with Crystal, with Trenton Fashion Week.
We haven't finalized who's going to be partners with it. We've talked a little bit with some of the folks at the Mercer County Community College.
Oh, she works with them, too.
She works with them.
Yeah,
yeah, they're part of it, I think.
Probably going to end up working with them.
Oh, I love
this. This is very early stage. So
okay, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nothing concrete.
All right. It's got to start somewhere, right?
It's an idea that we've been discussing on our end, and we're moving through the outreach.
Cool. Have you noticed lately some of the guests, they're starting to say, well, I got something going on, but I can't talk about it.
It's very hush-hush.
Like, what the heck? Well, now.
Well, it's okay.
I got plenty of other stuff we can talk about.
Yes,
we're going to get into that. That's totally
We're going to
get into that. But I do want to know that when you do finalize it, we want to be the show you come on to let it all out.
Yeah, sure. Well, let us know. Yeah. We can put it out there for sure.
Another thing
and
I think is very, very cool is that Freedom Skate Park is the only indoor skate park in New Jersey. New Pod City, which is our parent company for Trenton Waves and other podcasts, is the only podcast hosting company in the state of New Jersey. I think that's really good. I think this is going to become the city of onlys.
Or at least the incubator.
At least the first, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, one thing I was talking about, because right now we're very lucky and happy to partner with the City Recreation Department to use the Wireworks building for these events.
Right.
It's a perfect space for it. It's got perfect ground. It's a huge building that's shielded from the elements, right? And one thing I was talking about is you've got the historic bridge. It's the Trenton Makes, the World Takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Trenton is pivoting, and it might be an updated version of that could be Trenton Creates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trenton is becoming a real hub of creative expression and creators.
That's
right. One thing that I always think is a really neat metaphor in using that space. The Roebling Wireworks building, which was a hub when Trenton was making the wire ropes that built the Brooklyn Bridge, that built the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
That was Trenton's industrial manufacturing history. And now us, Trenton Circus Squad, the other organization that uses the building, we're taking that historic space and putting it to productive use, fostering a creative community in Trenton, which so is, cool. I think, Trenton's future and where the city is moving.
I got the chills. I got the chills again. I love that. I love that. Oh, that's so cool. Wait, before we go off on all things skateboarding, I want to ask you, how in your journey of life did you come to be in Trenton?
So I grew up in Ewing, and both my parents worked in Trenton for most of my childhood. My dad was a reporter working on the State House Bureau for the Star-Ledger for a long time. And then my mom worked for a few different nonprofits in the city, Mercer Street Friends, ACNJ, a few others. Mm-hmm. Did a bunch of volunteer work with TASC, Homefront, a lot of the organizations in the city when I was a kid. And then I started skateboarding when I was about 12 years old. We used to go skiing every winter with my family, and we came back from a ski trip, and I was always bummed because I couldn't ski 80% of the year, and so my parents were like, why don't you try skating? So picked up a skateboard, started messing around with it, spent 2 weeks trying to figure out how to ollie in the street in front of my house, and just got hooked on it. And so after a few years of skating, I saw, and I started to form these friendships through skating, and I started to see that for me, it was teaching me and other kids my age who I knew these really important life lessons about how to see an obstacle not as something that's in our way or something that is preventing us from achieving success, but instead as an opportunity to think creatively, to set a goal for ourselves, and to follow through on that. And at the same time, it was fostering this community and helping introduce me to a totally diverse range of people who represented every race, every sexuality, every background, and helping me get to know these folks who I might not have met in any other context. Mm. And I thought, this has the potential of really positive impacts, especially in a place like Trenton, where there aren't as many opportunities for kids to just do something fun and be part of a community that's not competitive, but that's supportive and pushes them to achieve their own goals. And so that was when I was about 16 years old. So I approached Homefront with the idea to do a skateboarding summer camp for kids in their programs. And they were receptive to it. We raised about $2,000, got some donations from the local skate shop, and ran a camp 2 weeks long for 20 kids. At the end of the camp, every kid got to take home their own skateboard, their own helmet, all their stuff, so they could keep skating and continue introducing their friends to it.
That's amazing.
So I did that for 2 years, and then I graduated high school, and I went away to college. I went to college in St. Louis, so I moved out to the middle of the country, and then realized very quickly that I missed the East Coast and did not like the West. So did my 4 years, and then moved back.
Did my 4 years like it was prison.
Moved back to Jersey. And when I first came back, I was living in New Brunswick, and I linked up with another organization that does skateboard equipment giveaways for kids.
Yeah.
Started running events for them, and then had this idea. While I had been away, all of the indoor skate parks had shut down. When I was growing up skating, there were 4 or 5 indoor skate parks in the New Jersey, Philly area, and they were just open to the public. I could go on the weekend if I wanted to. I could go after school if I wanted to, and I could skate any time of the year. But while I was gone, all of them shut down. And the reason they shut down was because they were set up to make money. And the fact is, running an indoor skate park is not a moneymaker. If you're covering your costs, you're doing great. So that's why I had the idea to set it up as a nonprofit. It's an all-volunteer organization, so the money is all going straight to support the programs. It's going straight to building better ramps, doing new paint jobs on the ramps. Like, we just collaborated with
Rainbow.
Right. Give the park a fresh coat of paint.
Nice.
And so that allows us to keep the thing running and make decisions based on what's best for the skate community and what's best for the Trenton community, because that's where we wanted to set it up and get this up and running, because not only does it now provide that service that the skateboarders need, but it also provides the only skate park in the city of Trenton, the only safe, legal place to skate in the city, and it also draws people into the city while fostering a homegrown skate community right here. So
being that it's a nonprofit,
that's the story, I guess.
Wow,
that's fascinating.
I love the part where you said that you saw this wasn't just a game. This was like you learning life lessons here about obstacles and overcoming the obstacle.
Well, that's the thing, and I think, I mean, people think about all sorts of sports that way, right? Like mm-hmm.
You
don't want your kid to play basketball just because they might end up in the NBA. You want your kid to play basketball or play football because it teaches them how to work as part of a team, mm-hmm. how to put others first, how to build connections with people who are different from them. Mm-hmm. And skateboarding teaches all those same things, and it also encourages and fosters individuality and creativity. And mm-hmm. that's why I think it's so important that kids have the opportunity if they want to do that. I'm not saying every kid wants to be a skateboarder the same way. Not every kid wants to play basketball. Not every kid wants to play football. Mm-hmm. But kids deserve to have that opportunity. And
right.
Mm-hmm. In Trenton, kids didn't have that opportunity anywhere.
I love that. That's amazing. So I think that's a great thing that you took something that you were interested in as a kid and made something wonderful out of it that could benefit such a broad population and the community that you're in. So I'm just sending out a seed there. That if there are kids out there listening, or young adults, or even older adults that have a passion for something, that have done something, or used to do something, you can turn that into something that can benefit not just you, but the people around you in your community.
Right, absolutely.
Yes.
So it's a nonprofit. You have it set up as a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. which means, you know, staff is volunteer, like you said.
Yep.
However, is it membership driven? Like, how do you make money? So, I mean, to cover your costs.
We've been fortunate, especially our first year. We got very lucky. We partnered with Trenton Circus Squad.
Okay.
They've been an incredible partner since very early on, and they worked with us to, they let us run a pilot program because they use that building, the Wireworks building. So we partnered with them for a pilot program, a series of 5 events, which then got extended to 12 events last winter because it was so successful.
Oh, great.
And then building off the strength of that success, we were able to establish our partnership with the city to give us access through the recreation department to continue running events in the space. But also, I mean, in terms of how we cover the cost of insurance, how we cover the cost of materials, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the main way that we cover it is donations from individuals who mm-hmm. understand the cause and believe in it and want to support.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
On top of that, we've also been able to, off the strength of our programming so far, bring in some grant funding. We got a grant from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We got a I Am Trenton grant.
Cool.
We were selected last year as one of the only 10 organizations in the entire country to receive a Ryan Scheckler Foundation Be the Change grant.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Congratulations.
If you know who Ryan Scheckler is, he's kind of the millennial Tony Hawk, I've heard him called.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Big X Games gold medalist, mm-hmm. long time famous pro, had a show on MTV. We applied for the grant, submitted a video, and they saw the potential here.
So cool.
And so he was actually in Trenton last June. We had to celebrate the winning the grant and getting our
check.
They came. He came with 2 other pros, and we did a Trenton Go Skateboarding Day, we called it, at Trenton Social. And we had a half pipe set up inside the bar. We had music going.
Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
Oh, it was a great time. So,
oh my goodness.
And we're looking to do that again this year, in June. We're figuring out exactly how we want to structure it. And who we want to partner with.
Let us know about that. Yes,
okay,
definitely let us know about that.
What happened to Tony? Remember Tony Hawk?
I remember, I'm not a skateboarder. To me, it was not my scene.
You were into rollerblading.
Yeah, and I wasn't really that into that either.
Fine.
I was all right.
What happened to Tony Hawk, though?
He's still around.
He's still doing his thing?
He's a 40-some-odd-year-old dad. He's a multimillionaire. Sounds like he has a good life.
Yeah.
He made his money doing what he loves, right?
He actually has a foundation established to help build skate parks in at-risk, low-income communities. It's called the Tony Hawk Foundation.
Okay.
And so there's also, in addition to our work building an indoor park, there's a separate group that we work in close partnership with.
Mm.
They call themselves Friends of Amtico Square. They're a community group that's been pushing for years to get a permanent outdoor park set up in the city. And so we're working to engage the Tony Hawk Foundation on that and with our efforts and things like that. So
that's so amazing.
Well, we would love an outdoor park because they're using our park across the street.
Yeah, I can't.
You can
handle
tell
it.
But they put these like metal things on the capstones.
Well, so you can't be like grinding in there.
Right, and it, they're all waxed. Like you can see, they must wax them or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, so we keep chasing kids out with skateboards, but...
Well, yesterday I chased two kids out, but I didn't chase them out because they're doing parkour.
They were doing parkour.
I'm like, okay, just keep doing that.
Not skateboarding.
If you break your head on a capstone, that's
I don't know what
problem.
They were trying to do. I was like, are they trying to jump off into the river
from
something?
No. From capstone to capstone, they were doing it.
Oh, okay.
Huh? And then with swinging off the bar, and then they did that one flip thing. I'm like, these guys are good.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
anyway,
whatever. As long as
that's another sport we could bring to Trenton. Anyway.
Anybody, any parkour specialist, come to Trenton. We got the room.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have a problem with skateboarding. I have a problem with skateboarding when you're doing it illegally and you're damaging, you know, property.
Well, you know that song? Do you know that song? Kick, push, kick, push.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard that song
I'm
before.
I'm just playing right now.
Okay, there it is. I heard it because I teach a group fitness class, and that was one of the songs. I'm like, I wonder if they know that song over there.
Yeah, it's about Jake.
You can't skate here. The cops came and said, you can't skate here.
Do you ever go into a park and you ever grind in a park?
I'm going to fully defend the street skateboarding. I think there's a lot to be said. I mean, it's skateboarding's history. It's what makes skateboarding different from a sport. It's why it's bigger than sport. It's why it's had a bigger cultural impact, because it's not just about staying confined to certain areas, staying confined to a skate park. It's about repurposing and questioning what public space is and saying, all right, this is a space that's supposed to be open for public use.
But like if it's damaging property, though, that's not good.
I mean, I think...
I agree with both of you.
Is it worse than any other? I mean, so much stuff happens like that. I'm not on board with skating spots that are individuals' homes. I think that's the kind of thing where
that's
you
got to
be respectful. Mm-hmm, you got to don't like when you see guys like you see clips on Instagram, people who ollie onto the hood of somebody's car. I think that's just kind of a jerk move, obviously. Right. But you see some really incredible things happening over in Europe in cities that are taking a proactive and productive look at how we use public space and how we bring people together in public spaces to exist harmoniously, right? There's these famous spots like the MACBA Museum over in Barcelona. Paris has been doing a lot with implementing skate-friendly and skate-oriented architecture into public spaces so that people are existing together in it. Mm-hmm. So it's not putting skateboarders off in their own little silo, building a skate park on the outskirts of town, saying, okay, you can do that over here, but we don't really want you to be part of our public society. It's embracing the fact that we want vibrant communities where people are biking through the streets, skating through the streets.
Sure.
People are sitting on a bench, eating their lunch. Somebody else is maybe skateboarding on the bench next to them.
Right.
And it's a place where people are existing and expressing themselves together, and it's not this rigid separation. People generally aren't upset if you see kids like tossing a football back and forth walking down the sidewalk or things like that. And so I think it's more similar to that than folks realize. And obviously, if it's a crowded sidewalk, don't try to skate on it. You're going to run into somebody, you're going to hurt somebody.
Sure.
That's not good.
Right.
But
right.
If you're doing something that you're ollieing a staircase, nobody's getting hurt, nothing's getting damaged. You just happen to be taking advantage of this space that exists that should be open to any public use.
I got no problem riding down a railing.
So really what cities should be doing is when they are constructing a park, like when they built the park, this was like 16 years ago.
Yeah.
They put these granite capstones. Maybe a better idea would have been to put something more durable that you would keep in mind, like, kids are going to come up here and skateboard. Let's let them. And let's let it be a material that's not going to get damaged.
Exactly.
So nobody's like, oh, look what happened to this. It cracked. Right? Wouldn't that be a better plan?
I think that...
Or maybe take a portion of the park just
for skateboarding.
So moving
forward, when parks are being designed, that should be something that's in the design...
You hear that, Mercer County Parks?
With the materials that are being used.
Well, and I think a lot of people are actually... I mean, what you see, too, is you're getting more and more people who... Skateboarders are... Kids who grew up skating in the 90s and the early 2000s,
like me
and folks way older than me, are growing up and they're learning how to advocate for skateboarders. Mm-hmm. They're learning how to organize skateboarders in a community organizing way. And it's about helping both sides understand the other side better, right? It's about helping the skateboarders who come to our park understand that the building we use is a piece of Trenton and New Jersey history.
Right.
And they need to be respectful of it. And that's why we don't allow any sort of graffiti or any sort of painting in the park. And that's why we'll clean up trash outside of the building, even though technically that's not our responsibility, mm-hmm. right?
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
It's about teaching them to respect
sure.
the space, mm-hmm. but it's also helping folks who don't skateboard to understand why people want to do this and why it's a good thing and not just a bunch of punk kids who are
right,
causing problems. And
hey, get out of here,
you lousy kids.
You lousy kids. No, but also if you isolate the parks, then you're not going to have that because people aren't going to, they're not going to meet. There's not going to be that, you know, crashing yeah. of
right.
of different interests yeah. and different mindsets. So it should be in somewhere where people can see it happening on an everyday basis. Yeah.
It is helpful. I mean, there's a place over, I did a study abroad program in England when I was in college, and I was in London for 6 weeks. And there's a park there that's really famous that they had a really successful nonprofit fundraising campaign to actually protect it, because at first the city was going to get rid of it and
sure.
then to expand it. And it's under a overhang, so it's protected from the weather, and
okay.
it's right on a really busy, it's on the south bank of the Thames River, which
okay.
is a really, there's a museum,
yeah.
there's
cool.
a bunch of museums, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah.
So people walk by it all the time, and it's a historic skate spot, but
nice.
It's also a place where people who don't skate can just witness skateboarding
mm-hmm.
that's cool.
taking place in skate culture, and every day there's a huge crowd of people watching and a bunch of kids and
that's
adults
cool.
under the overhang skateboarding. So
wouldn't that be a
cool
place
neat.
To have
yeah.
lunch, like sit there and you get entertained
yeah.
while
yeah,
you're having
watch
your
the skateboarders.
Lunch?
Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally.
Very, very cool. I like that a lot.
I have another idea.
Go.
You said there's a lot of these parks in Europe, right?
There are, yeah.
So you bring a handful of kids to those parks. It's an award or something, or it's something like that. And it's
right.
like funded by someone. And you bring kids on like a field trip from Trenton and do like an exchange program with other skateboarders, and then those people come to Trenton from
oh,
those countries.
Oh, okay. Now
right?
I'm getting
that be
it.
Cool?
Yeah, I like that.
That'd be a cool thing.
What do you
thing.
Think, Jake? can you start that?
Great. Where's the money?
I know. Right? All right, you hear
I'm
this out there.
It, so.
When the why is big enough, the how finds a way.
Yeah, so
the money will come.
If you're out there and you're a millionaire, billionaire, looking to get a tax write-off.
Yeah, you're looking for something to write off.
Yeah,
we're right here.
I got the determination letter.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
it.
I'll send it to you. Overnight delivery.
Contact us at TrentonWaves.com. We'll put you in
yes.
contact with Jake, or at the end of the show, you'll hear his plugs and you can hook him up that way.
Yes.
You guys hook
mm-hmm.
up that way. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. If you could now imagine your dream Trenton, what does it look like in your mind?
I mean, it definitely has a weatherproofed skate park.
You think?
So,
yeah.
Something
you're the first guest that said that.
24/7 lights, something with a. That's covered so that it doesn't get snow on it, doesn't get rain on it, and that's open to the public 24/7.
Ooh.
Round-the-clock accessibility. That's the dream, right? And in addition to that, I think it would be built up in a way that emphasizes the history of this place, the historical communities that have been here for a very long time and that have their roots here. It would be built off of their ideas, their history, their thoughts on what makes this city special. But it would be vibrant, it would be lively, there would be people doing things throughout the city, kind of all hours of the day, all hours of the night. It would be a modern city done right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A modern city that evolved without displacement, without
right.
gentrification.
Right.
And that happens to feature as a major centerpiece a world-class, state-of-the-art, permanent skate park that has
I like
lights
it.
And you can skate when it rains or snows.
It's not so. Biased whatsoever.
I can see it. I can picture it. Can you picture that?
Absolutely.
I almost feel like I can pick the location for it, you know?
Where would you want it?
I'm not saying where I would want it,
here's
but
the
I'm
thing.
Thinking.
When she says stuff, it tends to happen. As crazy as some
right,
may
well,
think
hey,
it sounds.
Speak
but
it into existence.
Absolutely.
Saying,
absolutely. That's what we do.
So
yeah.
funny. Jake, we'd like to ask you if you want to stick around for a little something we call plugs.
Sure.
Trenton Waves Plugs.
Hey, podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves Plug.
Jake, where can people find you? Where can people hear you? Where can people see you? Where can people go online to experience all things Freedom Skate Park?
All right, so I think the most important plug is our social media and our website, where you can get more information about who we are, what we do, and where all our upcoming events are happening. So It's facebook.com/freedomskatepark. We're on Instagram at freedomnj. And our website is www.freedomnj.org. Right now, we are in the midst of our Trenton Winter Skateboarding Program. Every Saturday from noon to 6, we are open to the public. We have boards and helmets that folks can borrow. So if you don't have your own, that's no problem. We've got one you can borrow for free. And then coming out of the Winter Skateboarding Program, that ends on February 29th. We have a whole bunch of other exciting stuff on the calendar. We're involved with Art All Night. We're involved with, hopefully, Art All Day. We've got Trenton Go Skateboarding Day coming up in the summer. We're working with the Recreation Department on their Take It to the Streets festivals. We'll be out visiting every neighborhood over the course of the summer. So, again, remember, it's Freedom Skate Park on Facebook, Freedom NJ on Instagram. That's where you can get all the information. And if you want to support, like I was saying earlier, we live and die with the small donations from people who believe in this cause and want to help us keep this going. So that is freedomnj.org/support. You can donate online.
Oh, right, nice. There.
So
people can donate online.
Yep.
Oh, very, yeah. Very cool.
That's handy.
Are there sponsorships available for different things?
There will be soon. It's not finalized yet. We're developing our sponsorship packet now for the programs throughout the year and for next year's winter skateboarding program.
Okay.
But just check the website. We'll be sure to announce it on our social media as well.
Very cool.
So, very cool.
One more quick note I'd like to just make very clear and get out there is I happen to be the person who's on the podcast. And so I'm the one who helped to kind of get the ball rolling on this, but nothing that we've achieved would be possible without the skate community and the community of volunteers mm-hmm. in Trenton and skateboarders who show up and make our events fun, positive experiences for everyone there. The people who work behind the scenes to build our ramps, the team of 30 volunteers who helped us unload our truck and move into the building, and all the people who put in so much time behind the scenes. There mm-hmm. is a huge number of people who all work really hard and all chip in to the best of their abilities to make this happen. That's how it works when you have a volunteer-run organization.
That's right.
And this is certainly not a one-person or even a 10-person effort. This is a true community team effort. And I don't want to take credit for anything because it's the Trenton skate community and the mm-hmm. New Jersey skateboarding community that have made this work and that have made this possible.
Right.
And
right.
they deserve the credit and they deserve the thank yous. So I'm always happy to accept those on behalf of the broader
community. Well, you're like the point man.
Right.
But there's a huge community that makes this possible and I want to make sure they don't ever get dismissed or
What could you have done all by yourself?
Yeah,
right?
Really. Exactly.
Just you struggling as one person, but now you grab hands with a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You all have a similar vision and now you're all working together to accomplish something. So the idea is it's a unity thing, not just a one-man band.
Yeah, we always say, if you have a dream that you can actually fulfill yourself, you need a bigger dream. Right? Well, that has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.